I'm going to do something. Galatians chapter 4, we read it the other night, Galatians chapter 4. But I'm going to start off of that one tonight, Galatians chapter 4. And I want to talk about something that I think is a rare message in most churches today. And if I went around this room I said, what is the message that is lacking in most churches? Maybe a few of you would say it. But I think we've got so much power of positive thinking, so much lovey-dovey this, lovey-dovey that. I think that our churches have left the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He should be the center of it all. But He's hardly ever mentioned anymore. It's all these dramatical things, you know, and all these things. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, we'll start there. We've got a lot of scripture to go. You're probably not going to be able to keep up with me, so just write them down and look them up later. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, He, Jesus Christ, is the central figure. Think about this. He's the central figure of human history. Think about it. He is the central figure of human history. Those who know about history can't forget Him and leave Him out, because history wouldn't be right without Him in it, see. Even unbelievers say He was a historical figure. Those who know religion can't forget Him and leave Him out. You can't leave Jesus Christ out of religion and have a right religion. Those who study religion, they have to see Jesus Christ in the history of religion. And then those who have compassion, anybody that has a lot of compassion will remind you that Jesus Christ was a man of compassion. He loved sinners. He healed the sick, raised the dead. The people who know good works, these philanthropists, these people who try to do great works. I heard Bill Gates and his wife gave millions and millions of dollars to some organization the other day, and they're trying to find cures for all these different diseases. Anybody that knows anything about compassion will point to Jesus Christ as being the most compassionate man that ever lived. Anybody that knows good works will. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible cannot forget Jesus Christ and leave Him out. You can't know the Bible and not know Jesus Christ. You can't teach the Bible and not teach, you can't teach it right and not teach Jesus Christ. Those who have met Him, as we have, those of us who believe on Him, John 1:12, but as many as received Him, those of us who have met Him, we cannot forget Him and leave Him out. He is the central doctrine of the Bible, and He's the central figure of all history. Think about it. Think about it. Even our time is judged by Him. So I got to think about the doctrine of Christ. You hardly ever hear anything about it. You know, some people say, I don't preach doctrine. All I do is preach Jesus. And I understand what they're saying, but they're really oversimplifying something that's very important. There is a doctrine of Jesus Christ in the Bible. There's a lot of doctrines in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the number one doctrine of the Scriptures. And so you can't preach Him and not preach doctrine. Salvation is a doctrine. Sin is a doctrine. Heaven's a doctrine. Hell's a doctrine. Eternal life is a doctrine. You can't preach Him and not preach biblical doctrine. Now, the person of Jesus Christ, you can have Buddhism and not have Buddha. You can have Islam and not have Muhammad. You can have Mormonism and not have Joseph Smith. But you can't have Christianity and not have Jesus Christ. He's the center of all Christian doctrine. Without the living, resurrected Savior called Jesus Christ, you have no Bible. You have no faith. You have no Christianity. But look, you've got to include him in every bit of it. Now, you can have those other things. You can have cults and the leader be dead and in hell and still have your cult. You can have false doctrine and the creator of that doctrine can be dead and gone a long time ago and still have those cults. But you can't have Christianity and not have Jesus Christ in it, alive and well, resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father, coming back in all His glory. You've got to teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ to have Christianity. The Word of God is the basis of Christianity. Would I get amen on that? Jesus is the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. When you think of the Bible, you need to think like this. The Word of God, the Bible, that is God's mind for everything that He wants believers in Christ to know. That's not all of God's mind. God's infinite. You couldn't put all His mind in a book. But when you read the Bible, you can read what Jesus Christ would say to you if He were here today. He called Himself the Word. He's the living Word of God. So He's the mind of God, sent down to earth, God in the flesh, to speak the words of God, and now we have it written, the written Word of God. But you can't have a Bible and not have Jesus Christ, because then it's just another textbook. That's why the unbelievers, when I say that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, they say, not so. You know why? They don't know Jesus Christ. But if they knew Him, they would say, amen, because it's all about Him. Amen. Now, the Scriptures set forth the person of Jesus Christ as a central theme. And that same message is given through the ages, all the ages recorded in the Scriptures. That message of Jesus Christ is given all through the ages. You can start in Genesis 1:1 and go all the way through Revelation, and Jesus Christ is on every page of it. Everything in there is about Him. All the types, all the figures, all the feasts, all the sacrifices, all of those things point to Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't understand that, if we don't know that Jesus Christ is a central figure and a central message, then the Bible is not as important as it should be. See, maybe that's why a lot of preachers don't put so much importance on the Scriptures anymore. Maybe they don't know the living Word of God. Amen. Maybe that's why so-called Bible teachers don't put so much emphasis on the Scriptures anymore, because they don't know Jesus Christ as the living Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? He's the central message. All the doctrines in the Bible revolve around Him. You take Jesus Christ out of the Bible and you've just got another dead religion. You see, there was 400 years, we're about to celebrate His birth. There was 400 years that God didn't talk to Israel anymore. God talked to no one on planet Earth anymore for 400 years. And God left Israel alone for 400 years. And then we just read it. When the fullness of time was come, when it was time, God sent forth His Son. That's Jesus Christ. And now, all of a sudden, John the Baptist prepared the way for Him. Just for a couple of years, he said, make straight the paths, prepare ye, get ready to meet God, And then one day he pointed at Him, and as He was coming over the hill, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he prepared and pointed, but he was the first prophet to do that for 400 years. And then Christ walks out, and He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the veil. I am the good shepherd. I am God. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. And nobody had heard anything like that for over 400 years. And they had religion, but it was dead religion without a Savior and without the Lamb of God and without the Savior that was to come. And for all that time from Genesis up to that beginning of 400 years, it was taught and it was preached all through the New Testament that even in Genesis, He told Eve, He said, I'm going to bruise His head one day. Listen, they taught all the way through the Old Testament about Jesus Christ, not by name. And I'm going to teach a series on this, all right? Tonight's just the beginning. But I'm going to show you where Jesus Christ existed before he was born in that body. It's called the pre-incarnate Christ. Before he was ever incarnated into a man's body, the pre-incarnate Christ showed up on many occasions and did some things in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you that. But tonight, I want to get back to this. He is the message. If you take him out, you have no message. If you belittle him or lower him to just a man, you have a perverted message. Now, turn to Acts chapter 30. Acts chapter 30. Acts chapter 3, 20. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 3, verse 20. Acts 3, 20. And I'm going to go ahead and start with verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" And then you get over to verse 20, and he shall, this is what he told them, "Repent, be converted." And then in verse 20 he says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you." Now he's talking to those Jews. And he said, he's reminding them that God was going to send Jesus Christ and that he had already been preached to them. So he was the theme of the Old Testament prophets. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts 10, 43. In verse 43 it says, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So, according to the book of Acts, the Old Testament prophets' message was the same as our message is today. Now, I've read some so-called dispensationalists and all this stuff, and they say people were saved different in the Old Testament than they are in the New Testament. And I say, no. No, sir. And they say, well, they were saved by the works of their sacrifices. I said, no, they were saved by faith that sacrifice represented a coming Savior. They just didn't know his name, Jesus Christ. You're saved the same way in the Old Testament. Some people say, well, you got to get saved different in the tribulation period. No, you'll be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, or you won't be saved at all. A lot of the cults and even some denominations teach, yeah, you have to be saved and you got to get baptized, but then you got to be good enough to stay saved or you're going to get lost again. You got to get resaved. Well, that's a different Savior than what I got. Hey, amen. My Savior's not just powerful enough to save me, but he's powerful enough to keep me too. Amen. And so the Old Testament prophets, they preach that message that he's the message. He's the center of it all. He's the Savior. And without him, you have no Savior, see. Now, turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 41 and 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now that's the apostles. Turn to Acts chapter 9. And it, once again, Acts chapter 9, verse 19. "And when they had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now, so it wasn't only the message of the Old Testament prophets, but it was also the message of the apostles, that Jesus Christ is the center of it all. He's all. Hey, listen, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Amen? Now, so you got the Old Testament prophets, they preached it just like we believe it. Then you have the apostles, they preached it just like we believe it. And then, if you will, turn to Acts 17. Acts 17. And I know I'm going fast, but I'm trying to get y'all in here before Walmart closes. Acts 17. Oh, it don't close anymore, does it? How would you know? Acts 17, look at verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, they're in Gentile territory, but they went to the synagogue to the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now, here's Paul. He's gone to Samaria, and he's preaching it to the Samaritan Jews. And so the message hadn't changed. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. It's the same message. Different people preaching it, different people receiving it, but he's still the center. He's still the message of the Bible. He's still the message of our faith. Now turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I hadn't seen anything about feelings in here. I hadn't seen. All I've seen is the Word. They preached the Word of God. They taught the Word of God. They shared the Word of God. They expounded the Word of God. And every time they brought Jesus into it. It didn't say they had a shaking fit and fell on the floor and foamed at the mouth, and I know they got saved. No, sir. It didn't say they preached against liquor. It didn't say they preached positive thinking. It didn't say that they preached doing good works. Every one of them, they preached Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what they preached. Because, see, He answers all the other stuff. If you put Him in there, He'll fix the other stuff, see. And so, now, Acts chapter 8, look at verse 5. Most of you know this. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And he goes on and talks about casting out these devils and stuff. But look at verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. So now here he is preaching to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, listen to me, the Gentiles couldn't be Jews unless they went through this long cleansing ceremony and had to go through all these rites and stuff, you know, and then they could be baptized like John baptized them for the remission of sins, and then they could become what was called a proselyte. And the Jews would let them worship in their synagogues and study the Scriptures, and they would kind of adopt them, but they never counted them the same as a Jew, really. So here he is, he's preaching just to the Gentiles now, and later on, Peter will go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Now, look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The Samaritans are Gentiles, by the way. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 15-16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and call me by His grace to reveal His, you see that, capital S, His Son in me, that I might give motivational teaching, that I might get some positive thinking. No, sir, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Now, this is not just Samaritans, not just Gentiles, but now we're talking wild people. They live in caves and stick houses, you know. Preached among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I didn't go ask the Pope anything. I didn't go ask any apostle anything. He said, Jesus Christ told me to go preach, and I went and preached. Amen? And see, he's preaching Jesus Christ. He's not preaching Judaism. He's not preaching legalism or liberalism. He is preaching Jesus Christ alone. and he found out that it pleased God to preach Jesus Christ alone. I was pastor for a little while up in Clover, a little church up there, and when I went, I knew that it wasn't going to work. They were charismatic people. And I told them when I went, I wasn't charismatic. And the leader said, "Yes, you are." I said, "I'm not." I said, "I'm not a Pentecostal." He said, "Yes, you are. You got the gift." I said, "Well, I know I got the gift, but I don't speak in tongues. And I don't do those things. Yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit many times, over and over and over, for power to preach and to teach and to witness and to win people to Christ and live better. But that doesn't make me Pentecostal. That makes me scriptural." I said, now, y'all not going to like me. I said, "I tell you what, we'll do it 90 days. We'll do it 90 days. And I went up there, and they'd done turned into a hippie church. You know, they had a circle, and they'd have sit around Bible study things. I took all those chairs and lined them up in rows and found that old pulpit and drug it out there and put it back up there. And I hid a bunch of their old sorry books, and I threw away a bunch of their other stuff, and I hid their musical equipment, and I went in there and I just started preaching Jesus Christ. And I preached and I preached. And after 90 days, I could tell I'd done rubbed. The church grew, by the way. We went from like 10 to 45, you know. But I could tell the old flesh was rearing up. And I said, "This ain't going to work." But anyway, the word got back, said, well, they really not that sad you're gone. They said all you did was preach Jesus anyway. That's what they accused me of. Said, "That's all you did was preach Jesus anyway." I said, "Well, my wife wrote my sermon notes every time I preached. And if you'll go look, you'll find out that's not all I preached. I also preached on holiness. I preached on soul winning. I preached on godly living. I preached on eternal security. I preached out of the Old Testament. I preached out of the New Testament. But here's what they taught me at Bible school. You pick any text you want to out of the Bible, and you preach any subject you want to out of the Bible, and you read your text, and you announce your subject, and you start on it, and then as quick as you can, make a beeline to the cross of Jesus Christ and finish it up with Him so people can get saved." They were just wanting some theological discussion. I don't have that. and look, well, to preach Jesus. Paul said, Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the gospel of Christ that'll save you. It's the gospel of Christ that'll keep you. It's the gospel of Christ that'll straighten you out. It's the gospel of Christ that will encourage you. It's the gospel of Christ that will give you positive thinking. It's the gospel of Christ that'll finish you well when you die, see? I don't know why anybody'd want to hear anything else. I believe you'll live right. I probably preach it more than any preacher in this town. I believe you'll dress right. I know I preach that more than any preacher in this town. I believe your music ought to be right. Hey, I believe your relationships ought to be right. I still preach against shacking up. When was the last time you heard a preacher preach that? Amen? Amen? Hey, I still preach against homosexuality. I still preach against things, but you know what? It doesn't do any good to give them the problem if you're not going to give them the answer. Amen. Now, if you get right with God, it'll do some things for you. Look, we got to keep that message, our central message around here, or He'll leave us. You go in these dead, dry churches now where they give you a sermonette, so you run out to the kitchenette and smoke your little cigarette because you ain't nothing but a Christianette. And now, we're not doing that. They left the gospel out and the church died. What else would move us to do anything? It's the central message is Jesus Christ is what saves you, regenerates you, makes you into a new creature, transforms you, conforms you, and gets you ready for heaven. It's the one we're supposed to preach. Mark 16:15, he commanded that. He said, go to the world and preach the gospel. Don't preach positive thinking. T.D. Jakes would make a good vacuum cleaner salesman. Amen. Some of y'all didn't like that. That's fine. Mark that one up. Amen. What's the boy with the pretty hair? Joel Osteen. He could probably sell mattresses. Certainly, he puts me to sleep. Amen. When was the last time you heard him just preach Jesus? No, he says you can. You can be successful. You can be happy. You can do this. You can't do anything without Jesus Christ. You'll fall flat on your face. Whew. Look at Romans 1, and I'm just about through. I told you I was going to be short tonight. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of who? Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I've been preaching that tonight. Concerning what? His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Now there it is. That's what we're supposed to preach. That's it. That's what we're supposed to preach. Look, I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being Baptist. Not ashamed of it. A lot of people died for what I believe. A lot of people die. Southern Baptist Convention, a lot of independents now are taking Baptists off the name of their sign. I'm not doing that. No, sir. You need to study some real church history. What they've done, they've went to colleges where they teach them Catholic church history instead of real church history, and now they want to take denominationalism out of it. Well, I've got news for you. There's some things taught wrong in other denominations, and this is one of them, and I'm not going to take Baptists off because this is what we've always preached, and this is what we always will preach. All he did was preach Jesus. That's all you need. What else do you need? I don't want to work with him. All he does is talk about Jesus. We're going to fire you if you keep that up. How many write-ups it take? 3? Go ahead and write all 3 because I ain't quitting doing it. I'm going to keep on. Matter of fact, I feel guilty I hadn't done enough. That's what I told him. One of my jobs, that's what I told him. Did you know God's curse is on those who preach or teach any other Savior any other way? Well, you won't hear that on television. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in case that wasn't enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, accursed, doomed, damned, cursed. If you preach any other gospel than the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you will be damned to a devil's hell forever and ever. You'll be doomed. There'll be no returning. There'll be no praying you out or getting out or there's no purgatory in the Bible. It's heaven or hell. And if some preacher, if you go to hear preachers and they never preach the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious atonement dying on the cross in our place, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Him ascending up into heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and coming back in all His glory, let Him be accursed. I wouldn't sit under one. If I went to one church service in a church where they didn't mention Him, you'd not see me there again. If I sat in one Sunday school class where He wasn't lifted up, you wouldn't see me in that Sunday school class no more. Preachers. Go out there and shake a bush. 10 men that say the Baptist preachers will fall out of that bush. But what are they preaching? And by the way, they won't last long. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. They won't last long. Least little tribulation, some little false accusation, somebody hurt their little feelings, you know. They'll quit. They'll throw in the towel because they're not real and they're not preaching Him. They're preaching themselves. They got the spotlight. They've got their bully pulpit. And now, they got a lot of attention. But they're not preaching Him. Let them be accursed. Now, there's a church right here in town, over on Black Street. Now, I wasn't there, but this is what I heard. No, on Jones. I wasn't there, but this is what I heard. They had a young youth pastor. Pastor quit. Youth pastor stepped in. They said he was a pretty good young man. And he preached 3 or 4 messages. Several times he mentioned hell. Deacons come to him and said, "Don't be preaching like that." Another couple times he mentioned Mormonism. And one of them come to him and said, "You won't be preaching Mormonism against Mormonism here no more. If you do, we're going to fire you because somebody related to him was a Mormon." So next week, the boy took a stand, and he spoke against, in his message, he mentioned Mormonism, and that day, they fired him. Now, you write Ichabod over that church door, "The glory is departed." That's what Ichabod means. You can write Ichabod over that door of that church because the glory of God's departed if you preach any other gospel or if you okay any other gospel or you even act like any other gospel exists. There's no gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. And he said, if anybody comes unto you preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, it's approaching Christmas. I wonder what gospel we're going to be preaching. The gospel of Santa Claus? The gospel of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? The gospel of the little Frosty the Snowman? If we're going to preach the wrong one, let's do the Grinch Stole Christmas. Because that's what's going to happen. Amen? The only gospel. And it's our main Bible doctrine. And without Him, Jesus Christ and His doctrine, this is a useless book. Oh, it might help you live better. It might help you get off liquor. But you ain't going to heaven without Him. He said, He is the Word. Anything He would tell you sitting right here, right now, if he showed up today, Thomas, and sat on that front pew, and you said, "Lord, tell me something," He'd tell you something to come straight out of that book right there. Because that's His mind right there. That's what He wants you to know right there. That's Him. You hold this in your hand, that's the same as holding Him, the living Word in your hand right there. He said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the gate to the sheepfold." Let me tell you something. I'm serious. I'm about fed up with Baptist churches and Baptist preachers that don't want to talk about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. There can only be one reason, two reasons.
The preacher, pastor, whatever he is lost and don't know him. Can you say amen right now? Or he's afraid to talk about him because he might offend somebody and lose his position. Don't fire me tomorrow. I'll find a store building somewhere and start over. It ain't hard to start a church when you know how. But if you fire me for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, woe unto you. But we do. And we will. And listen, we will not be discouraged from preaching it. It may come to time to where they come to the door and say, look, that's hate speech. And if you keep that up, we'll put you in jail. I say, go ahead and warm up that bed because I ain't quitting. Well, we'll lock everybody in here up. I say, well, we'll see who the real church members are then. Amen? Amen. Because he's alive, buddy. I know he's alive. I met him March 5th, 1978, down the Eastside Baptist Church. On that left-hand side, as I walked down, I met him. And I'm like that old black bishop said that time, if God is dead, who's this living way down in my soul? I talked to him today. He's alive and well. He talks back. You say, preacher, you crazy. If I am, leave me alone. It's a wonderful feeling. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. Let's stand.